Hello, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Loveline. I'm your host, DJ Sextoy 10,000, and today, November 18th, 1997, is National Sextoy Day all across the nation.
And for the next hour.
And today, and for the next hour. And so in honor of this special occasion, I have collected a select panel of sextoy experts, my dear friend Art.
Hello.
And Cassandra.
Hello.
Art and Cassandra and myself have various involvements with the sex toy industry. We all approach sex toys from a separate angle, and tonight we're going to be talking about our experiences with them. And Cassandra, I see you've brought a bag of items with you.
Yeah, when I did a show on sex toys before, I'd really been trying to promote the material, like the sex toy material of jelly vinyl, because, you know, it's been being pushed really heavily by the sex toy industry right now, because it's kind of squishy, kind of soft, and really cheap. So they make lots and lots of vibrators and dildos and anal plugs and whatever out of jelly vinyl. I was pretty into them right about then. Then I discovered silicone. silicone, which is much, much more expensive, which is rarely made into anything other than dildos, and which is much superior to it, very much worth the cost.
So can you just explain for listeners, what is a sex toy?
Well, a sex toy, I guess, by your catalog description, would be anything for the express purpose of sex, but there are lots of things that you can use as sex toys that are just regular items around the house.
I mean, are these just for masturbation, or are they for sex with a partner? Or
what? You can use some of them for masturbation. You can definitely, like, use your vibrator when you're with your partner. You can even use your vibrator for, like, back massages if you want.
Isn't that how vibrators are actually sort of marketed in the mass market? Is, this is a back massage.
The Hitachi Magic Wand.
Indeed.
Tennis ball-sized head, great for back problems, you know.
So, is that true? Is it like every oldster that goes to Sears and buys kind of like the vibrator special is actually using it for masturbation? I mean, am I allowed to snicker every time I'm in the...
They're probably not. In fact, most people probably aren't. Like, usually plug-in models have to have attachments for express sexual purposes. Like, you're not going to shove a big old vibrating wand into various orifices of your body because it just won't happen.
And I've also actually noticed in terms of this marketing thing that if a lot of the dildos and various things that you buy at a adult bookstore say, you know, for novelty purposes only, or, you know, they claim that they're not for an actual insertion, they're just for amusement value. Am I buying the wrong things, or my point is, are any of these things actually expressly marketed for masturbation, or is there always this kind of double standard?
I would say that, like, the whole idea of it being sold as a toy is to, like, I don't know, just in case you do something and it goes horribly wrong, like something shorts and you singe yourself, or if you don't get the kind of sexual experience you were expecting, then they're not really liable for it, you know? It's a toy, it's not like your car.
I always got the impression, in fact, that those disclaimers were some sort of legal scurrying around.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm told that some states have laws that make it illegal to sell these in quantity, and, you know, maybe this is some sort of complicated legal dodge that someone believes might work to shield them from some sort of prosecution.
So anyway, back to the jelly vinyl. Do you have a jelly vinyl item?
I have a jelly vinyl vibrator with me right now. I got this before I realized something very important. Size is important, and let not your eyes outweigh your appetite. So
interesting.
Let's talk about size for a moment for our listeners who can't see this rather impressive object.
It's very big. Very big and just a tad not friendly.
We're not talking quite Boogie Night size here.
But, no.
But
I think it's 2 inches in diameter and something like 8 inches-ish long.
Now can I hold that? Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, and the vibrations aren't too strong. Like most battery models, vibrations aren't very strong.
I'm experiencing feelings I've never had before. So now the thing I'm confused about, like, you are in fact biologically female, and so this isn't. I mean, you know, this doesn't seem that big to me. I mean, vaginas are pretty stretchy.
Yeah, you
right?
can give birth out of them, so technically. It fits, but, like, the point is, like, how much time do I have before I go to bed at night to work myself up to, like, having a vibrator that's huge, and how much lubrication do I want to use, you know?
Well, so you say this is about 2 inches across, so how long would it take you to, like, accommodate this, do you think? Or how much,
Well, one of the characteristics of jelly vinyl that I find particularly unsatisfactory is the fact that it sucks up lubrication, like you wouldn't believe, you know? Like, you'll use it, and it feels okay, and then suddenly all the lubrication that you put on it and all the lubrication that you've produced is just gone, and suddenly it's like ripping out pubic hair and painful.
So this thing that I'm holding right now is actually steeped in your vaginal juices. Is that an accurate comment?
Twice, even.
Twice blessed. So I noticed it also has this little kind of it's curved. Sharply curved at the tip, which is actually something that my own penis does not do. What's the purpose of that?
Well, the reason I started buying sex toys is because I wanted to have a G-spot orgasm, like, really badly.
Oh, on G-spot?
Yes.
So is there an actual G-spot, or is this some kind of media myth?
There is a G-spot, but it's not so easy for some people to have orgasms that way. You have to find it first, which involves, like, looking on the anterior wall of your vagina. And
once anterior.
Front.
Front, okay.
Once you find this, it's about a dime to quarter-ish kind of size location. Not that that means much, because you can't really see it, and it's, like, way inside your body. But it's an area that feels better than the rest of the areas in your vagina. And it's a collection of nerves that swell and is often compared to the prostate gland in men.
Really? And so with this device...
So stimulating that area, if you've got a PC muscle that's exercised, PC is like pubogluosilus something muscle that supports, it's hooked onto your pelvis and it supports basically like your crotch. And if that muscle is toned, then males can have good prostate orgasms and better orgasms, and women have G-spot orgasms.
Really? So how does one tone this muscle?
Well, what they always tell you to do is when you're going to the bathroom and you're urinating, stop the flow. And whatever you do to stop the flow is what you have to continue doing to exercise your muscle. And people tell you to do it like 100 times a day, and you should feel something. Like.
In fact, I'm doing it right now, and in fact, I do feel something. I feel more sexual.
I found that sometimes exercising my PC muscle will make me feel very aroused.
Really?
Simply because, you know, you're contracting a muscle, which is... Orgasms tend to be the contraction of something and the release of something else, you know? Whether it's just, like, tension or... hormones in your body or fluids, an orgasm has some contractions involved with it. So contracting is like, you know, rubbing together certain spots in your vagina if you're female, or like contracting your outer lips or whatever. But that sometimes like stimulates my G-spot a lot.
So here's a question. Have you ever gone out into public with one of these sex toys installed in your body, like a little vibrator inside your underwear?
Most vibrators you wouldn't want to walk around with. Like, this thing would have about 3 inches jutting out of you at any time unless you're in big trouble.
Right, well, you could be wearing a kilt or something that would hide that.
It wouldn't stay in on its own.
Hmm.
If you want to go out in public with a sex toy installed, you need something that has straps to accommodate it, or something small like a little vibrating egg. I don't find these things to be particularly interesting, you know? But, yes, you can walk around with sex toys on. I'd imagine
that... Is that comfortable? I mean, is that something you do? Is that exciting?
For some people, I'm sure it is. Like, it's not something I'm particularly interested in.
If we could move back, actually, a topic. You said, you know, they tell you to exercise this muscle 100 times a day. Who are they? Do you have any literature to recommend to our listeners on this subject?
There are several books about the G-spot, like The Incredible G-spot and... The G-spot, this. Most bookstores, like Barnes & Noble, has a huge section on sex, and I'm sure there'll be at least 5 different books that you can look at. Most of them say about the same thing, which is like, you know, this can be really, really, really wonderful. However, if you don't feel anything at all, well, sometimes that happens too. And sometimes it's your PC muscle being out of tone, and sometimes it's just because you just got bad genes.
See, I was just under the impression that this was all just a big media crock, you know. It was just like Lucid Dreaming or Deepak Chopra or whatever that guy's name is. You know, it's just a bunch of crap designed to sell books. But you're saying that no, in fact...
It's true.
It's true. Wow. So, I think it's possible we could have a WRCT fundraiser for, you know, every dollar we raise, we could, like, clench our sphincter 100 times. Let's put that in the suggestion box. Okay, so I was actually going to share a little personal experience. I have actually in my male orifice, the rectum, I've actually tried to insert a little butt plug and walk around for a while just to see what it was like. But I found it profoundly annoying. Like after about 10 minutes of activity, there I was at the Giant Eagle wanting to get that thing out. Actually, it really wasn't the Giant Eagle. I don't condone wearing sex toys in any particular Pittsburgh shopping mart. But anyway, it's interesting. I was just, not being a woman, I don't know if the vagina is anymore.
It depends, like, what you're putting in it. I'm sure if you had a little vibrating ball and, like, you were into little vibrating balls. Personally, I find that little vibrating balls kind of get lost and I don't really feel them.
Vibrating ball? These aren't these steel Benoit balls. Are they? Do they actually vibrate, or are they just bang against each other?
They're Benoit balls, and you insert two of those in your vagina, and the idea is to rock back and forth, and the movement of the balls and the little balls inside of them create a kind of knocking, and it feels good. Like that's.
I've read a fair amount of debate about that. There's some people who claim that this is the most ecstatic experience they've ever had, and other people sort of say, I don't understand the point here. There are these two balls inside me, and that's not very interesting. And
it's more lucid dreaming. It's all media hype, I'm telling you. Now, I mean, if these balls were two different metals, you could imagine some kind of battery effect where they could actually stimulate you electrically.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen some really, really expensive sex toys, like sex toys that are all metal and cost several thousand dollars. They're supposed to, like, not vibrate, but send ultrasonic oscillations or something. And the problem is I would love to try so many sex toys, but it's just so expensive. It's not like you can borrow it and take it back, be like, well, I didn't really like it.
Interesting. I wonder if you could get some kind of job at a sex toy research facility.
I would like that.
Interesting.
Anyway, so you have your Benoit balls, which aren't electric. Most of the things that you're going to insert and walk around with are probably going to be electric, unless, you just have like a butt plug or something.
So did you say, did you say not electric?
Are going to be electric. You have like 10,000 different takes on the model of something that's probably in the shape of a little animal, and it hangs right over your clitoris and holds your labia open, and it vibrates and sometimes so glows kind of like, in the dark, or
it's kind of like
whatever.
Hiding its eggs there or something.
Or you could even like have some eggs up inside your vagina, or go for both, walk around.
Incredible.
In fact, there was a couple of remote control vibrators that I saw. So, like, the idea was you could go out to dinner with your date having a vibrator egg in and you pressing a button and this, going on throughout dinner. But
So they use radio signals or something, or is there just a wire discreetly leading to
No, it uses no wires. It's wireless.
Oh, that's awesome. So when you use one of these, one class of sex toys is clearly the sort of penetrating probe variety.
Yes.
Do you use these primarily for vaginal stimulation, or do you go for a little backdoor action as well?
I've tried anal insertion, and I can understand how it could be very erotic. It's not something I'd want every day.
Mm.
And maybe, like, the times that I've experienced things like that, I haven't been in the mood for it, but it just gave me an extreme feeling like I needed to go to the bathroom and move my bowels.
Right. Well, it does take actually quite a bit of practice with a patient partner in order to really get the. It's a technique that takes a long time to learn, I have to say. But I'm developing a series of videotapes about this, thinking of marketing in the spring. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, I have this thing. It's called the Anal Invader, and it's.
Can you say that name again, just because it makes me laugh?
Anal Invader.
Thank you.
I got it from Good Vibrations. It's a little blue probe with... You remember those little motors that had the stick that stuck out of them and rotated, and everyone said if they could think of a way to use this, this person would be really rich?
No. Motors.
They were like...
Like in the Tinker Toy Advanced Collection, or what are we talking about here?
Well, like the little cylinder things, and all they had was just a little like metal post that stuck up from them, and all it did was whir around.
I think I've seen those actually, but okay.
They're very much integrated into little science and engineering kits for kids.
Okay,
you know, and so, you can make little fans or tinker toy things out of them. Anyway, so this has kind of something like that, and what it does is, like, the little probe part rotates, and it's about 3/4 of an inch
rotates
in diameter.
Rotates fast, rotates slowly?
Kind of slowly. I'd imagine that fast would probably be painful.
Well, that's why I asked, because I'm sort of envisioning, you know, The little motors of my geek hobby childhood sort of rotated way too fast to, for me to envision any sort of comfort involved.
That's probably a safety feature. too fast to be erotic. Okay, so you what you're getting at is that you've taken this giant dildo and you've attached it to one of these motors and now it's spinning.
Not quite. The anal invader thing, it's like a really, really thin kind of, like, probably about your finger sized.
Right, so much less of an invasion, more just a sort of
probing,
you know, anal visitor.
So how long is this again? I'm trying to figure out if I've seen this before.
Probably around 4 inches.
Okay.
4 inches long.
I saw that in Toys and Babeland in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, does it work? Is it fun?
I only used it once so far, and I wasn't too excited, but I did get to, like, kind of delve into the realm of double penetration, which was amusing. So
I don't have a clear mental picture of what's. You've got some spinning motor, you've got the anal invader. How are they attached? Is this thing just rotating sort of vertically along its axis, or is it, like, flapping around?
Yeah, it's kind of flapping around.
And so how do you capture it with your genitalia? I don't understand. Or your anus, in this case.
Well, it doesn't flap around so much once it's inserted.
But what? Bottom line, is the motion a thrusting motion or a spinning motion?
Spinning.
Spinning. Is that good? I don't know, spinning seems kind of a weird... I mean, spinning, there's no natural analog for spinning. Like, when you're mounted by a human being, that person doesn't spin usually.
That's not true. Not spinning in a sense that they're, like, rotating under you, but...
that's the sense I meant. And that's what the anal invader is doing. It's rotating.
I mean, sometimes I found it really enjoyable when my partner during sex would, like, kind of move their hips in a circular motion, which would cause their penis to rotate.
Well, sort of, but that's more like... that's more of a gyrate than a rotate, right? I mean...
Well, it's kind of doing the same thing internally.
Well, you need to mount yourself on a... hang yourself from the ceiling. Yes.
Oh, so no, if this is the thing I'm thinking about, is it's not a straight thing that rotates. It's sort of got a bend to it. So
a little bit.
As it rotates, like, the bend sweeps out a larger circle than the rest. And
boy, howdy.
Side-to-side motion there that you get.
So in your personal life, do you usually use these toys in the context of with other people or by yourself? Or?
Lately, it's been more by myself because I've been, like, alone more.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of fun with vibrators and various other, like, sexual attachments for a long time.
Various other sexual attachments.
That was when I was really gung-ho about jelly vinyl. If it comes out, it means you've broken it.
Okay, I'll put it back in there.
Here.
I wouldn't be too upset.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so you can have various different things that attach around your partner's shaft, or you can just play with a toy, you know, without involving a penis at all. But what I was using was, like, a jelly vinyl attachment. It was kind of like a ring with little nubs on it, and then an enlarged nub for your clitoris. And that was when I got a lot of training in, like, having clitoral orgasms during sex. And when that toy melted, I found it a lot easier, and I was very successful in having clitoral orgasms during sex because of the motion that I learned from using that toy.
So these rings that you refer to, you're talking about some kind of little bands, little power bands that you put on your partner's penis?
Jelly vinyl is really stretchy. That's another feature of it.
Yes.
So it will fit pretty much anyone and probably won't be uncomfortable.
Oh, so you actually put a jelly vinyl dildo on top of your partner's penis?
Well, no, but you could. They have lots of different things. One of the things that I've seen has a little hole in the middle for your partner's shaft and then a little dildo, and it'll either vibrate or not. And then at the top, there'll be like something vibrating for your clitoris too, so you just get like all sorts of attention there.
Wow. So,
but that wasn't what I used. I'm a little afraid of those. They seem a little big.
So you mentioned that you experienced different kinds of orgasms, the vaginal, clitoral, maybe there are others. Can you give me
a brief rundown? Well, vaginal is G-spot, you know. A vaginal orgasm is like something induced by the G-spot, like through direct and probably pretty strong stimulation of the G-spot. You have contractions of the upper vaginal walls and lower uterus, whereas clitoral orgasms, you have contractions of the lower vaginal wall.
Interesting. So are there any other orgasms we need to know about, or are those the main
two? The prostate, but, you know, as far as females, no.
So this is interesting. So you can actually have a simultaneous vagoclitoral orgasm.
Yeah, I'm sure it would take a lot of work, and it's probably not something most people have. But the people who have had them compare them to, I don't know how they compare this to this, but they say that, you know, it's probably what it feels like for a guy to just have a regular orgasm.
Really?
I don't know. I think that. That's biologically speaking, too. I think in...
So your claim is that the same sets of muscles, that when you sum one set of muscles for the woman, that you somehow get... I don't know. I've never
seen...
I'm
not too clear on it, but it was in one of the G-spot books that I read. Okay. You know, because they really do, like, kind of say clitoris kind of equals penis, G-spot equals prostate, but... I guarantee that, like, a clitoral orgasm is not the same for me as a penile orgasm for a man.
And so how do you know? So how do you rate these orgasms? So, like, ordinary, like, male orgasms are always better unless you get the simultaneity thing going? Is that the claim here?
That depends on the person, I guess. But I would say that for me it is.
I mean, how can you even compare? I mean, since every person is only gets to have one kind or the other, does your dear male partners just seem like they've had a better time?
I guess.
All right, well.
It's certainly a lot easier to, you know, you're not going to have an orgasm during sex, like, if you're not doing something toward that goal, you know?
Meaning, if you're a woman, you have to work at it.
If you're a woman and you're kind of laying on the bottom and you're being penetrated, you're probably not going to have an orgasm.
I think I know some women who would differ there, but I don't know.
It depends.
I'm happy to leave that at it depends on the person.
So what else is in your bag?
Well, the other thing I have in my bag...
Oh, my God, that's...
It's so tiny.
That's ridiculous. Can you even feel that?
Yeah.
So let's describe this object for our listening public.
All right.
This object is about as big as my head.
This is a silicone dildo, and it's got a little flared base, and it's very small. It's, I think, 1 1/4 inch in diameter and 5 inches long. 1 1/4 at the widest part. That's what they said in the catalog.
Even. It's more like, if you're lucky, that's an inch across. Wouldn't you say?
I don't know.
So.
Anyway, I got this at the end of a big sex toy order that I had, and it was pretty cheap as far as silicone sex toys go. Silicone is really pretty expensive.
So this is the silicone here. This is the Cadillac of, if you will, of. Sex toy materials.
At this point in my experience, I would say yes.
So I want to talk about that difference, because I've sort of been subject to sort of sex toy catalog propaganda that said, you know,
jelly
says
vinyl.
That, no, it says that silicone is the way to go, you know.
Yeah.
That sort of, I agree. Of the catalogs I've read have sort of even mentioned jelly vinyl, or it's been a sort of a latecomer. They talk about how silicone is great and silicone is good, and sure, it'll cost you more, but they never really did discuss the alternative. So I want to know.
That's really weird, because everything I've ever come in contact with is like this great new material, jelly vinyl. Like, you can get jelly vinyl on everything. And it's okay. Silicone. The great things about silicone are, one, it retains body heat, so it stays warm.
Better than the jelly vinyl does, I see.
Yes. Better than, like, regular vinyl or rubber or whatever you're using.
Does it stretch?
A little. One of the drawbacks to silicone sex toys, I should make note of it before you break mine.
Sorry.
Is that if it gets scratched or ripped in any way, it'll probably rip all the way down.
Oh, it's so right.
Because of the way silicone kind of sticks together. So the other thing that's nice about it is that it is extremely smooth on the surface, and it doesn't absorb lubrication at all. So I could penetrate myself with this or something else that was silicone, like, half an hour before I could penetrate myself with anything of the same size that was, like, jelly vinyl.
So it just glides right in.
Yep.
Now, when you talk about various kinds of lubrication, I know that, for example, with condoms, you know, they tell you not to use oil-based lubricants because it destroys the latex. Are there similar requirements for sex toys?
I assume that you could probably use anything with it, but I wouldn't advise using petroleum inside your body.
Oh, really? Interesting.
But I think petroleum's kind of an evil byproduct of oil.
Oh, so this is a more of a spiritual argument rather than an actual health argument.
Petroleum is kind of nasty and extremely synthetic, and I wouldn't want to stick it in my body.
So but certainly there's lots of other oil-based oils that you could use. You know, for example, some sort of scented olive oil.
You want to be careful of, like, scents that you stick inside your body, too, because that can be pretty irritating.
All right. So bottom line, what do you use for your favorite lubricant?
Well, Johnson & Johnson tests on animals. So KY is out.
KY is lame anyway.
Yeah, it is. Right now I'm using something that I bought from Xandria. I think it's called Passion.
Mm.
It's kind of watery. It's nice because it's pretty much just like some kind of polymer and water.
Testing sexual lubricants on animals, I mean, that's sick in so many different ways.
I don't think that they're like testing them sexually on them.
That's it.
Probably forcing them to ingest it.
The reason I'm asking this question is because I actually prefer, I hate to be such a throwback to an earlier time, but I prefer oil-based lubricants because they don't dry out.
Yeah.
They stay slippy longer.
A lot of the lubricants that you pay more for have a feature that if you add more water to them, they'll, you know, refresh themselves, so to speak. There's actually some kind of silicone lubrication that I was just very afraid of, and I didn't want to try that at all.
Do you remember the name of the product?
I think it was ID. ID makes all kinds of flavored lubes, like cherry, banana, chocolate, mint, blah, blah, blah. And they come in little cheesy tubes and cheesy colors, and it's for, you know, consumerism. And now they have, like, silicone lubrication, and one of its big features is that it's waterproof.
Interesting. That is interesting. And they claim that it's also latex safe?
Yes.
Okay. Because certainly I've used water-based lubricants that have worked well, but that have not stayed slippy long.
Yeah.
And even though I've seen some that claim to not get sticky once their sort of lubricating ability dries up, and it's true they are somewhat less sticky, but I've never sort of had one last as long as I might like.
That's the nice thing about silicone, is that I find that I really don't need to use other lubrication. Like, I can just use the dildo and I can use me, and then that's fine.
Your natural lubricating juices are enough to...
Yeah.
Really?
Whereas, like, jelly vinyl would be gone in 2 seconds.
So this tiny silicone dildo that we're now examining, is this like $100 because of the material?
I think it was 20.
Well, that's not bad.
I got it, Because it was one of the cheaper ones. Cheaper probably because it's small and they probably don't sell very many because it's small. Thinking maybe of using it for further anal adventure because it's small, but found that I liked it a lot vaginally.
Well, you need to get two.
Or you can use a condom on one and then take it off and then... And you have no worry about trans.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Don't use anal toys and vaginal toys unless you wash, like, not even wash them, but should use a condom if you're going to use the same toy vaginally and anally.
Well, I mean, with enough toys, you could achieve, like, the supreme holy grail of the triple orgasm, the anal, vaginal, clitoral. Except that you don't have a prostate, of course, but still.
I'm trying.
All right. So do your sexual partners find your interest in sex toys acceptable? Are they freaked out by it, or are they as interested as you are?
By the time I'm fooling around with someone, like to the point where it gets sexual, they're probably not going to be scared off by something like that. A lot of people are really open to it. A lot of people are very amused by it, at least. And a lot of people are very curious about it, and they really, like, would try it, but they're kind of scared. But if you say, like, hey, I've got all this stuff, they'll be like, wow, let's go try some, you know?
So what do you say to the claim that somehow, you know, this is unnatural, that you know, you're encouraging dependence in technology, and, you know, and why do you need all this silicone anyway?
Well, there's no replacement for having sex with another person. I don't care what kind of multi-$1,000 sex toy doll you have and what it does and how it vibrates. Like, there's nothing that feels quite the same as, like, having sex with someone else.
That's just a temporary technological problem. I mean, you know, in 300 years we'll have, like, giant multi-penis-shaped, organically grown beings who will be better than any human lover could ever be, I claim. Anyway, go on.
Well, then if people don't have sex and, like, you know, don't reproduce, and I don't see that as too bad a thing anyway. I don't think anyone's going to be dependent on their sex toy. You know, I don't think that there's going to be much of a market for, like, walking, talking sex toys that do all these wonderful things. You might as well just be dating someone, and it's a lot cheaper.
But no, wait, I mean, hold on. See, this is where I totally disagree. I actually think that the sex toy industry, as it were, is totally stunted. These toys completely lack any kind of creativity. They all shaped kind of like a penis. Occasionally, they might be shaped like a dolphin or a little gopher or something. But still,
beavers.
It's a beaver, and it's still it's utter. I mean, you could just close your eyes and think for about an hour about like what a really cool sex toy would be, and it's not out there. And
so
with a little application of robotics.
Tell us what
a really cool sex
toy
tell
is.
Tell us what I mean. Have you closed your eyes? Have you thought for an hour?
Well, I mean, so clearly the fact that, you know, human beings only have one... So here's one example. Human beings only have one penis. Definite drawback. So you can imagine your fantasy dream sex toy lover having, like, two penises and giving you, you know, your simultaneous...
You can do that. The toy that I was describing before with a little hole and a second penis in it.
Okay, well, so three penises.
You can strap on as many as you want. You can strap one to your head, like with harnesses.
Interesting. And now we're beginning to run into a dearth of orifices.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me think about my ideal sex toy and get back to you.
Because I've tried. I don't know, there's a point at which you look through the sex toy catalog and everything that looked cool now just all looks the same. And it's true, but, you know, you're still working with the same kind of body, and most sex toys are treated as novelties, and they really aren't, like, perfected the way that they should be. They're just kind of cranked out and hope that you buy them because the idea of a sex toy is novel enough that you'll try it, and quality isn't that important. You know, most people don't do what I do and go spend, like, several hundred dollars finding the sex toy that they like, which turns out to be, like, something small and silicone and $20.
Are we allowed to mention catalog names on the air? So I wonder, I mean, the catalogs I've read have certainly, many of them seem to come with this attitude. It's this sort of elitist sex toy catalog attitude. Like, there are all those other catalogs that just sort of... you know, toss out these things and think that you might buy them from the novelty. But we really care. We've thought long and hard about this.
It really
and I've never been sure
like...
how to evaluate their claims, because I never bought anything from the other catalogs.
I think that you and I are reading very different sex toy catalogs, and I think I might want to, like, find out the sex toy catalogs that you're dealing with, because mine are pretty, like, you know, very famous and well-known, and because of that, they really don't have to meet any kind of quality requirement because they're so popular.
Enough beating around the bush.
Adam and Eve, Xandria, and Good Vibrations.
Okay, so I guess I've read the Good Vibrations catalog. I'm also a fan of the Blowfish catalog. And
I've never heard of them.
Oh, they're in San Francisco, and they seem like nice enough people.
Are these people on the web?
So the Blowfish people are. They're www.blowfish.com.
Blowfish.
www.good-vibes.com, and their thing will be up on Friday.
Their thing?
Their homepage.
Oh, are you sure?
I have been trying to place an order from their webpage.
Oh, they're automatic ordering. Okay, so they have the catalog up now, but you can't actually order through the web.
I don't know. I think it's their whole webpage that's down right now.
I've used their webpage before, so maybe it's down and back up or something.
And, like, I just found out about their webpage because I just started, like, interacting with them. So I was kind of excited to look at it because it's not just about ordering sex toys, which most of the sex toy catalogs are. You know, it's about, like, history of vibrators and, like, some really old vibrators and other kinds of things.
Also, Toys in Babeland, which is a small store in Seattle. When I used to live in Seattle, I visited there a couple times, and I don't remember their web address, but they too had this sort of elitist, we sell only the good sex toys attitude about them.
But still, there's so much more. I guess I would want my sex toys to come with more of a fantasy element. Like, you can imagine getting, you know, your really cool sex toy that had jilted swim team lover sex toy. That would be my perfect sex toy. You know, you get this thing, you get out of the box, it would look like a perfectly sculpted 19-year-old varsity swimmer, and it would reject you. That would be perfect. See, the thing is that these toys, rather than being mere instruments of penetration and vibration, actually need to come with some sort of fantasy element, some sort of story. They need to interact with you.
I don't have any problem with coming up with my own fantasies.
But you know, you have to supply all the motive force to these things. What you really need is something that's capable of its own independent motion. Like it can you know, climb on top of you and seduce you.
I'm sure there's a market for such a thing, but I don't know if it's quite feasible yet.
Well, you know, I think all the pieces are there. We've got all the robotic technology right here at Carnegie Mellon to make this a reality, and with these new silicone materials. Anyway. Sorry.
I don't know. I'm not interested in those kinds of toys.
So you really believe that sex toys are really only a supplement to real human contact? But see, that's...
Well, a supplement, but, like, maybe a very big supplement.
I mean, maybe you're lucky enough to get all the lovers you need, but there are many people out there who are lonely, whose only sexual gratification comes from masturbation and from sex toys. And for those people, you want to make their masturbation life as rich as possible.
There was some webpage that I never got to see because my friend lost the URL, and it sold, like, very, very expensive sex dolls. Like, most sex dolls are inflatable and have various vibrating orifices and or vibrator.
Yeah, but they're all totally stupid looking. They're just, like, they're cartoonish.
They are.
Caricatures.
But the point of these dolls was that they were very lifelike, and they were made out of expensive silicone-like materials. They didn't move, but they were much more like a human, you know, in that they wouldn't pop if you weighed too much or something.
Popping being a definite drawback to any illusion of reality.
Yeah.
So, and also, it's interesting, we've been talking about sex toys supplying pleasure, but we haven't even touched on the sex toys that supply other sensations, like pain. So have you ever tried anything like this? I'm talking about nipple clamps, those electric, sparky, violet wand things.
I'm not too into pain, but nipple clamps can sometimes be cool.
So are we talking about sort of the garden variety clothespins, or have you used anything more heavy duty?
Nothing more heavy duty. Like, I'm really not into pain, but, you know, you can get nipple, not really clamps, but things that have loops that you tighten.
So allow me to put in a plug for adjustability here. Certainly the nipple clamps that I got weren't adjustable, and they were a little too strong, and it's not as fun as they could have been.
So the flip side of that is maybe you were just too weak. I mean,
perhaps, but in the end, you know, it's a toy, and if it's not a fun toy, then, you know, what good is it?
So have you tried to clamp other parts of your body, or have you tried to, like, you know, apply? Are you in the pain in any form?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me about that. If you have some examples.
Oh,
the electricity.
I've never tried the electricity ones. The cost of entry seems a little too high, you know? As Cassandra said, you know, it seems like a sort of bummer to spend a lot of money on a toy and then find out, oh, you know, this isn't all that fun.
Yeah. One of our guests brought one of these Ralph brought a violet wand. And I could sort of see the appeal of that. You know, the thing that disturbs me, I guess, is that there's these little rules that you have to remember, like, you know, by the way, don't send your heart into defibrillation. That it could come sort of a bummer, you know. If you get the electricity thing wrong, then suddenly, you know,
you kill your partner.
Which seems like the wrong thing.
I like bondage.
Are you capable of self-bondage?
Meaning what?
Well, I mean, there are people that tie themselves up, and then there are ways to tie yourself up that you can't really untie yourself, or it's actually really difficult.
I'm not that experienced.
Or, you know, put yourself in a situation like, you know, you're out in the woods and you take all your clothes and you throw them up into a high tree branch so you can't get them. And then, you know, tie yourself to the tree and just wait.
I will say that I'm more into the tie and tease end of bondage than, like, the suspension from ceiling.
So this is these are things that you've done with a partner.
Yeah.
And you do the tying or you are the tied?
Both.
And is there a fantasy element to this? Like, what are you thinking about as you're being tied up?
Well, part of it is, like, the loss of control, you know, or the power. And both of them are pretty erotic.
And what about the power element is interesting? I mean, do you actually, I mean, I can imagine that one way you might do this is with people that you trust so much that you know they're not actually going to kill you. I mean, do you only do these kinds of games with people that you really trust, or is there more of a danger element to it?
Yeah, I'd only do it with someone I really trusted.
So let's discuss for a moment sex toys that you use to tie people up. Do you have specially designed, you know, I've seen a wide variety of cuffs and mitts and things.
Or your little fuzzy cuffs and your little, like, I don't know, they have much better things than that. Rachel's Pleasures, who also has a website, has some pretty moderately priced nylon kind of things. They have cuffs for your ankles and your arms, and you can attach these to bedposts or to other pieces of the cuffs. So, like, you could attach your feet to your ankles, or you could attach your...
feet are already attached to my
your hands. I meant. You could attach your hands to your bed and your ankles together, or whatever.
Do you have any consumer recommendations for our listening audience on these products?
Well, if you don't want to spend a lot of money and you're just kind of into something that if your partner dies because you electrically shock them too much, you can get out of your little tying situation, these are the way to go because they've got little clips. There are lots of things that have Velcro, you know, and...
So you're fond of the emergency escape option?
Yes.
Okay. I sort of like these things that, you know, that tie you up, tie your, like, hands to your wrists to your ankles or something like that, and then leaving in this, the idea is that to tie somebody up, leaving in this incredibly vulnerable position so that all you can do is lie there and be a receptacle to their penetration. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This kind of harness situation or some kind of multi-point head, wrist, ankle, neck. Kind of restraint.
Something that would hog tie you, I think.
You probably need something a little bit more, like, high along the scale of bondage equipment than your average, like, mix and match set from Rachel's Pleasures. But
Interesting.
You could do it. You could even make it on your own if you wanted. Like, never underestimate, like, robe belts and silk scarves or other scarves. Pillowcases.
Wow.
Rope.
Rope.
Wire.
Well, wire can cut.
Well, like, not the kind of wire that you can cut with, maybe, like, cords or something.
Okay.
So if we cover bondage and sex toys, the only thing left is food.
Food.
Meaning, you know, so I would imagine, the reason I mentioned food is I was thinking about my own ideal fantasy scenario, which is being tied up and then, you know, there's the whole, like, whipped cream genitalia thing. And I guess what I'm really getting at is...
I guess I was once spurned involving whipped cream, so I've never found any more.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm actually fascinated by that story. How can anybody... Whipped cream is, like, America's most favorite delicious little dessert topping.
Unless you're vegan.
Well, you know, you can eat Ready Whip or whatever, something completely non-dairy, right? Or is that too corporate for you?
I don't eat your fun sugar either, so.
Yeah, well.
I used to like it, though.
Maybe some sort of carob-based...
soy lecithin-based.
There's an Alison Bechdel cartoon about this, yes. But no. If your partner giggles after the application of the whipped cream rather than becoming aroused,
moaning.
Then
Sometimes when I giggle, I am aroused, though.
Oh, in this case, it wasn't that way.
I like cereal.
Cereal.
I was gonna say, Corey, let's go on with yours, but I would like to hear your cereal.
Like things with little. Bite-sized pieces, because they kind of roll around. They don't stay where they should, you know. So
this fantasy could not be more revolting. Are you talking about like wet, soggy cereal?
No, like dry cereal.
Oh, okay. Because there's nothing like more nasty than kind of. I mean, milk is already a disgusting fluid, right? And so the fact that it's like getting into the creases of your body and then rotting there is actually really really revolting, is it not?
Like dry cereal.
All right. So Cheerios.
Okay.
Rolling around.
Cheerios are actually a pretty good size, you know, because some of them stay put and the way that they're shaped, you know, some of them roll off. So, you know, typically you'd focus on, like, you know, breasts or chest or something, and they might roll somewhere else, and the other person's got to eat it from there, and that might feel good, too. It'd be an unexplored area otherwise.
Fascinating. So... The fantasy that I was trying to describe was this kind of like multi-point fantasy involving both bondage and pain and food all at the same time. I mean, imagine being in one of these harnesses and covered in whipped cream? No, your partner's covered. No, you're in one of these harnesses, tied up, trapped, and
the dog is covered in whipped cream.
Well, I was actually thinking there was an entire, you know, contingent of Marines covered in whipped cream, and your job is, because it's part of this hazing ritual, is to like lick the whipped cream off of their aroused Marine penises, and then they of course kill you because they hate you. Anyway, help me out here. Your favorite sex toy fantasy? Is there something that you want to do that haven't done?
Fantasize about women a lot.
Women? You've never been with a woman?
No.
Wow. Really? And why not?
I don't know. Usually it was because I was in an exclusive relationship when the situation came up, and then when I wasn't, it didn't. But I don't know, right now... Just kind of waiting for the situation to come up again.
Ooh, are you available? Like, if there are, if it happened now, if I were a woman, for example, would we be having sex now after the show?
I don't know about that, but I have the option, yes.
Excellent. And so what is it about women? Well, I know, well...
Did this fantasy involve women or women and sex toys? And
probably both, because, I don't know, part of it is the understanding of your body a little bit better, you know? Like, I mean, it's wonderful to have sex with a man, but I just feel like maybe sex with a woman would be different because they really understood how things felt. And possibly someone with, a lot of sexual experience with women, so they'd be, like, even better at sex with a woman. That would be a big bonus for me.
Somebody who knew how to use those sex toys just right.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't done. Okay.
I've got plenty.
Do you think that this kind of thing can be taught? I mean, you sort of hear this a lot, and it seems like this standard problem that, like, you know, women are not men, and so women don't know how to please men, and men are not women, and it's the same
applies. I think it definitely can be taught, and takes a lot of communication and a lot of experience. Otherwise, no one would know it. So.
Well, so if you had to give me tips on how to properly please a woman, you know, what are the top three things that men get wrong?
Well, for me personally, too hard or too fast, like penetrating, that can be pretty painful, and the entire sexual act afterwards is like kind of uncomfortable. But I don't know how much that's me or in general, like not enough foreplay sometimes. But I mean, it would vary depending on who you're with. So like probably the top on the list would be like more communication.
So that's the first thing. More communication. Wait until you're sort of relaxed and more lubed up before he dives in.
I mean, more communication, because there's nothing worse than like being in a sexual relationship where you feel like maybe you should be faking orgasms, you know? Because you're all stressed and you'll never have orgasms. The whole thing will be like stressful for you.
Well,
and there's really no reason, because, you know, if the other person knew that what they were doing wasn't pleasurable and you could kind of like talk about it and get over it, then you could do things that were pleasurable. It would be very rewarding.
So do you have strategies in your current male-female relationship for, in, you know, guaranteeing yourself an orgasm every time?
Yeah.
And in the next 15 seconds, can you tell us what those are?
Well, I don't know. I've just kind of, like, gotten to know my body well enough to, like, know what to do and how to move and things.
Nice. So. Well, it's been another fascinating evening of sex toys. Remember, tonight and all of November is National Sex Toy Month. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's about midnight, and you've been listening to Loveline. I want to thank my guests and thank all of you for listening, and I'm going to say good night. Good night, everybody.